hope you will review our evidence and rationale in consideration of your decision today, and I do thank you for your time, and God bless.
Does anybody have any questions? Thank you for your presentation.
Yes, sir.
Is there anyone that would like to speak, or anyone else that would like to speak for this project, for this appeal? For the appeal. And, sir, you are going to be limited to 5 minutes.
Okay. Nathan Yeager. I was the previous owner of this property. Mm-hmm. I currently live on 5 acres across the street. And just to reiterate what Brandon had said about, they had been so neighborly about speaking with neighbors, so it was a shock when this came through the first time, because I myself had spoke with all my neighbors, just to be friendly about it, being it was my property prior to that. And it was a big shock to see it come through, and their concerns were what I was, even shocked me even more. But just to touch a quick basis on the, from the home, you cannot, the cedar trees and pine trees are so thick you can't see from the home. You really can't see the other homes. And the concern, the one thing that was brought up was a privacy fence. And one, it's the lay of the land and the drop and the slope of the property. A fence that would give any privacy at all would be huge and would look horrible. It would block the views for all the neighbors of the beautiful site for that area as well. I mean, the view from that area for all our neighbors is nice, and a privacy fence that would do any good would look terrible. I'd previously living there thinking about something blocking those views, and the views from where I live now are just terrible. But I myself and several of the other neighbors have no issues with this at all. The ringleader for the problems is gone, so I don't see how anybody has any issues, in my opinion. But if you have any questions for me, like I said, I've lived in that spot for 10 years, and I live across the street now, so I'd be glad to answer any questions that or concerns that any of you have. If not,
if we have any questions,
thank you.
Is there anybody else that would want to speak in favor of the appeal? Okay, if there was anyone that would like to speak and oppose the appeal. Go ahead and state your name, please. And your time would be limited to 5 minutes.
My name is Samuel Vernig, known by Tucker Vernig. I'm the property owner just to the east. Got about 12 acres there on Victor Church Road. My wife and I purchased from Tom Goldsworthy. He was here at the last hearing. I'm also here representing John Gloyd. He couldn't come tonight. He had some family deal. He said that I had his blessing. I talked about the things that I wanted to say, and he agreed entirely. He is the one directly on the other side of the property in question. So he's the closest neighbor on that side. I'm the closest neighbor on this side. Couple of things that I just wanted to speak to really quickly. I know that basically there's only the few points. We're just looking at the decision that was made last time, saying the substantial impact and the safety of the welfare of the other adjoining properties. Basically, a conditional use permit, by definition, is a use that's kind of outside of a normal use for the property. And so we can agree that zoned ag, not really compatible with a nightly rental. And I do believe it would make a substantial impact, and I do believe that it would impact the safety and welfare of the people directly around them. And I'll list a couple of reasons why. Mr. Goldsworthy, the guy who owned my property before, he pointed out the watershed, it ran across their property. He pointed out the pond. He pointed out the pool. Those were all considerations as far as, and also that there were no fire hydrants along that whole street there. There's a couple of ponds that are tapped into, but no fire hydrants. Teresa Gloyd, John Gloyd's wife, said, frankly, she didn't want it, and she continues to hold that feeling. The cedar glade that was in question, those were actually trees planted by Tom Lloyd. There's three of them there, and that fence that's in question around the pond, it is falling down to the point that I'm planning on taking it out because it's not really value-added at all. I do plan to build fence, and my family moved out there because I want to have some animals. And that's part of the issue there. I'm going to need a guardian dog for the animals that I want to have. Would like to do some agriculture. I'm going to have a brush hog, tractor, normal things for an ag zoning. And I'm worried that with the inherent nature of a nightly rental where there's a new guest staying every night and there's a lack of ownership there, I've rented things and I've owned things. And you tend to take better care of things that you own. So fundamentally, by having a rental unit right there, I'm just worried that there would be an incompatibility where people don't feel the ownership, they don't know about the boundaries, they just don't know how to respect the neighborhood the way that an owner would. And that's basically all that I've got.
I've got
any questions?
Question.
Yes, sir.
The fence that you're intending to build, are you going to build that on your property line right up beside this man's property?
Yes.
Planning on building the road?
A barbed wire fence to contain the animals, so not all the way to the road. Whatever makes sense for the animals. So,
Brent, do you have a pond on your property then? Are you the one with the pond?
Yeah, the pond's right there on my property. You can see it there.
And how is the concern, safety concern with having a pond? Is it fenced or you're going to put up a fence or what?
So there is, can I go up here? So there is a really bad fence right here around the pond. Here's the three cedar trees they were talking about being the cedar glade. The fence is literally falling down. It's garbage. I'm planning on building a barbed wire fence because that's normal for keeping animals in. It's technically an attractive nuisance, which an attractive nuisance by definition is. It's just whenever, if you have a nuisance and you have just a fence, generally you have to have a fence and a sign and a couple of different things to keep people away from that. And I'm just worried that it'll raise my liability exposure by having a different guest, families, kids, just different people there on a nightly basis that have no idea of the lay of the land or anything like that.
So will your new proposed fence address the safety concern with pond? Is that what you're saying?
I don't believe so. A barbed wire fence that I may build down the road isn't really going to address the concern, no. So...
Any other questions? Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Was there anybody else that would like to speak in opposition to this? Then we'll close this to discuss it with the board.
The first thing I'd like to say is that this board or the P&Z board, we do not take other conditional use permits in the area in consideration when we look at. We look at individual projects. That's the only way we look at them. The buffers that might be required by this board would just be required if that's the case. I think that may be answering some of the concerns. Now, I don't know the answers to that. To that question, or what anyone else is thinking.
Well, a nightly rental without on-site supervision is certainly a bigger problem, a larger problem than one where they have adjacent supervision, where they live on the property or adjacent to the property. Big difference, in my opinion, in that, and one that's done online and leave the key in the lockbox and tell the people to clean up when they leave. You get a different clientele, you get a different atmosphere.
It's my opinion that if the previous board has found two reasons for this for us to overturn, we would need to fix both of those two or address both of those two. Both of those two would have to be made in error, and we've talked about compatibility many times on this board, and not even to get into whether compatibility is an issue or not. The impact on safety and welfare is, I think, what I'm hearing here, that the neighbor does have a pond that has a questionable fence. I think if this previous board had an issue with safety, and I did hear the comment that There are other nightly rentals that have pools or have, that are next to the lake. My opinion, pool is typically guarded by fence, or pool is in your own property and you're assuming that risk. I understand that they did some addresses with that, but a lake is a public use lake, and hard to say it's causing somebody else liability. My issue is, if there is a pond, I hate to put the onus on the neighbor to protect their pond from somebody that's not been there before, that may be advertised as a spacious rolling hills and they're going to want to go explore. I think there is a safety concern there, and it does impact the general welfare of the neighbor that they have to protect having somebody get into a dangerous situation.
Probably a greater issue there because of the rural setting than there would be in a subdivision with small lot and very little opportunity to roam.
I don't think a barbed wire fence, even if it were placed in the future, is going to would stop a curious person from
it's never stopped them on my property.
Come and see the pond.
Okay. Sounds like the issue of buffering the trees maybe on one side or the other. The neighbor takes down the trees, the buffer's gone. It really should be on the applicant to say, we will put up a fence or do trees or do something to prevent that safety issue.
If we were to talk about a buffering fence, would it need to go all the way to the road, or would it, like, part of the way up the hill on each side work?
Depends on how determined your
renters are.
Your renter would be.
Well, and that's assuming that we're making the decision, not overturning a decision that's been made.
Right. Correct, and we didn't hear the whole safety. I mentioned pond, and that may or may not address pond. It's almost as if we need to hear a whole new application with let's start fresh if we do that.
I guess the other question that we always answer here is, was planning and zoning an error?
At this point, I don't believe that they were in error of what they had presented in front of them. And I don't know that that has really changed drastically in front of us.
I would agree. I see a path in which an applicant could maybe reapply with different changes, but at this point, I don't know that there was an error made. Good point.
I agree with that.
And that's our job, is to determine that.
Yeah.
Or not make a new determination.
Or give conditions.
Right.
Trent, did you have thoughts on that?
No, I think you guys are on the right track there.
Okay. Would someone like to make a motion?
I would move to deny appeal 23-003A.
On the basis?
Because they didn't show that there an error was made.
Yeah, there was no error made in the decision of the planning and zoning.
No, I'd second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay.
Scott, would you like to explain the next avenue that the applicant could pursue, if possible?
There is actually a 7-day window from when we post this decision, which will probably be tomorrow. It could be Friday, to actually come to the board for a reconsideration or rehearing request. And at that meeting, you would just ask for them to rehear it. It's not a public hearing. You just present why you think it needs to be reheard. And at that meeting, they would decide to rehear it or not rehear it. If they rehear it, then the decision's null and void, and they would rehear it, just like tonight. And if not, then you're finished with the avenue through the planning and zoning. Your next avenue, circuit court. I mean, I can send you the rehearing, reconsideration verbiage that's in our bylaws.
Do The next item we have is 23-004 appeal. For James.